Father Quinn, Father Maloney, Sister Bannon, Sister Carol, Mrs. Sinclair, leadership team, staff, parents, friends, and fellow students. As I began to write the speech, I came to realise just how difficult it was going to be. How could I possibly tell the story of the 100-and-something girls in this room? Slowly, I came to realise that I simply couldn't. We have come from as far-flung as Hong Kong, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Windora, Moree, or even just down the road. Some have been here for the whole 5 years, some a little less, and we've each had our own experiences that have brought us to tonight. However, I came to realise that although we are each unique in our own way, we do share one thing in common. We are all Stuart Home girls. So tonight, I would like to share with everyone some stories that I believe have helped to shape us all into the young women we are today. Some are funny, some are sad, and some are very embarrassing, but they have all had a huge impact on our lives and will remain with us for a long time to come. It is these experiences and these memories of our incredible school that have shaped us into the young women we are today. So let's start at the beginning. 2008, the year of firsts. We entered this school in oversized dresses, hats pulled over our ears, and pristine black shoes. We were excited, we were eager, but most of all, we were terrified. We quickly learned that we were the lowest species on the Stuart Home food chain. We were grade eights. With this realisation came a newfound awe and respect for absolutely everyone older than us, especially the seniors. We found out that if you got in the way of a senior on their way to the tuck shop, you would quite possibly be eaten instead. For the seniors, we felt not only a sense of respect, but also trace amounts of fear. Fear that was justified by the infamous muck-up day of 2008. However, grade 8 wasn't all bad, of course. It was a year of firsts. Our first dance, our first swimming and athletics carnivals, and our first introduction to screaming Sacre Coeur as loud as we could. I wonder how many girls in this room actually know all of the French words. And there were, of course, our first streakers. Most of us will remember for a long time to come that fateful Melbourne Cup day when 5 very brave Maris boys decided to streak through our school. Those boys, clad only in their underwear and scarves hiding their faces, soon found out that yes, Miss Clarkson could run faster than them. Too soon this year came to an end and we were set to face the dreaded Grade 9. Grade 9 brought with it new challenges, mainly making up more creative excuses for why we hadn't done our homework. It seemed that the excuse, I'm a Grade 8, didn't really fly anymore. Our shoes became scuffed, our uniforms ripped, staples held up our hemlines, and we were finally allowed to attend all the good dances. Grade 9 also came with the realisation that we were the coolest kids in the entire school. Yes, we were even cooler than the seniors. It seemed that the power of not being the youngest people in the school anymore quickly went to our heads. As Grade 9s, we held the belief that we were so much better than the Grade 8s, or anyone else for that matter. In later years, we learned just how painful we had been, and so to the teachers and parents here tonight, I'd like to apologise for that very interesting year. Thankfully, though, Grade 9 flew by and Grade 10 began. Grade 10 brought with it the awkward transition from the junior school to the senior school. We were old enough to be given an increased workload, but still given assigned seating in classes. In order to compensate for our lack of freedom, we turned to gym dances to alleviate our boredom. Suddenly, having pale skin became so last year, and fake tans were all the rage. Of course, we all decided to get the darkest shade that we possibly could, a decision that was later revised. 2010, the year of our 90th anniversary, was also the year that the entire school was called into the chapel for an emergency meeting. Terrified, we sat, waiting for Mrs. Sinclair to deliver the horrible news. Someone had stolen the red shoes, symbolic of our year's focus goal. Thankfully, both shoes were found and returned to their rightful place. Crisis averted. The year continued without further incident and we commenced grade 11. So close, yet so far away. Grade 11 was a year of enjoying what little social life we had left before we hit grade 12. We occupied ourselves with buying dresses and shoes for a semi that was still 6 months away and finding partners that would look good in photos. Finally, the night came, and with excitement, we headed to St. Lucia dressed to the nines. We towered above our partners in shoes we clearly couldn't walk in and hairstyles that had taken hours. Sadly, the night ended and it was back to our studies as we had finally learned the difference between formative and summative assessment. Sort of. The end of the year came rushing to meet us amongst leadership handovers and our first encounters with our little sisters. The soon-to-be grade 8 seemed impossibly small as we reminisced about our own introductions to our big sisters nearly 4 years ago. However, we quickly welcomed them into the school and ensured that they knew all of the important do's and don'ts, such as never, on pain or death, use the senior bathroom. The year was soon over, and what we'd been waiting for all along finally came. Grade 12, the year of laughs and the year of YOLO. We were finally seniors, and this was our year. We were quickly introduced to Instagram and hashtagging, and our lives revolved around the concept of YOLO, you only live once. It seemed as though every dangerous activity we completed required YOLO to be stated in order to comprehend our own fearlessness. You went skydiving? YOLO. You went bungee jumping? YOLO. You didn't do your SOR homework? YOLO. This was our year to run around pulling off the seemingly impossible. We organised house events, fundraisers and lunchtime concerts. We strutted our stuff at fashion parades and formals. We somehow managed to fit all of this planning and entertainment around our co-curricular activities and, most importantly, our studies, but it definitely wasn't easy. I think it's true when people say that grade 12 will really test your study skills, but what parents may not know is that it also tests your ingenuity. Let me share with you an example of this. It was term 3 and things were getting serious. The last modern history assignment of the year was due, but little did Bridget Grace know it was due before 8:30 a.m, not in class as she had thought. Panicked, Bridget emailed her teacher, claiming that she hadn't handed in her assignment because she had broken her leg. When Mr. Guevara arrived in class to find Bridget without a cast, she was sent to the head of department to explain her miraculous recovery. Of course, Bridget claimed that the incident had occurred when she attempted to copy her favourite YouTube video of Mr. Guevara dance walking through Brisbane. Dance walking, it's dangerous. This year was the beginning of the end of our world. And no, I'm not talking about the end of grade 12 or even the Mayan calendar. I'm talking about the day that One Direction concert tickets sold out in minutes and the hearts of thousands of schoolgirls all over Brisbane broke into pieces. Fortunately, though, our grade was able to band together, and for one grade 12 girl, Bella, whose ticket money was taken from her bag, a collection went around the school collecting over $100, enough money to fully repay her. I don't think you can really explain the spirit of Corinum any better than that. When one of your classmates will dig into their own pocket and give over whatever spare change they had so that you can see your idols, you know you're part of something pretty special. Most of us ignored teachers and parents who said that this year would fly past and believed that it would last forever. But too soon, we were sitting QCS for real and staring at the turtle that had managed to get onto the writing task paper. Too soon, we were sitting through our last classes and our last morning tea and lunch times, and now here we are. Our last week of high school, and then it's all over. For most of us, this is tinged with sadness, and for all of us, a lot of excitement. Schoolies is only a few days away, but so is the rest of our lives. It's been a good year, it's been a good 5 years, and there are a lot of people that we owe our gratitude to. Firstly, to Mrs. Sinclair and the entire leadership team. Your commitment and love of the school is evident through the calibre of students sitting before me. Along with Sister Carol and Sister Bannon, you have instilled values and convictions reflective of those of Madeline Sophie Barra and shaped our understanding of the world around us. Thank you to Mr. Alco, our year level coordinator. Mr. Alco, you've been a great source of support throughout this year. Your care for students, demonstrated through your incredibly hard to decipher sarcasm, has helped so many of us make it through the year with a laugh. And where else, other than Stuart Home, will you find a teacher willing to post an Instagram photo telling Maddie Wilkie to get back to chemistry? As many parents would know, at Stuart Home, we have some of the most passionate and wacky teachers around. Like their students, our teachers are a little bit out of the ordinary. And they've truly demonstrated patience and care in putting up with all of our craziness and early morning emails over the years. So tonight, I'd like to say thank you to all of our teachers for everything they have done. So thank you to the teachers that forced us to do our homework and listen in class. Because of you, we exit this school with an amazing education that will take us wherever we wish to go. Thank you to the teachers that didn't and actually made high school somewhat bearable. I'll admit for most of us, those were our favourite classes, other than study, of course. Mrs. Harries, you truly are a wonderful woman. Thank you for believing our claims that we were in class the whole time the teacher just didn't see us, or that a boarder was stuck in traffic. Seriously though, thank you for always having a smile on your face and understanding that sometimes the buses really were late. Thank you for putting up with us and our excuses for the past 5 years. Thank you to the IT department for all your amazing technological advice, such as, have you tried turning it on yet? But in all honesty, thank you for fixing our laptops and believing that the huge crack in them came from us innocently pulling them out of its case. The IT guys do a lot of things behind the scenes for us. Parents, thank you for getting up at horrible times in the morning for sports training or ensemble practices. Thank you for cheering us on when we were winning, and thank you for cheering us on when we were clearly the worst group there. You pushed us when we needed it and supported us when the pressure got too much to bear. For all your time, effort and love, thank you. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, thank you to my fellow students. We've made it through these 5 years together with a lot of blood, sweat and tears, but we have always had each other's backs. Regardless of what happens in the future, 2012 will always be remembered as our senior year. Yes, we do have parents and teachers to thank for helping us get here, but we also owe that to ourselves. The compassion and care that has been demonstrated by the girls before me during events such as Sony Camp or even on a day-to-day basis has been truly inspiring. Student Home girls don't turn their backs on each other, and I'm proud to say that as a grade, we have accomplished so many great things due to the support and encouragement of the girls around us. Who else has a quorum of committee that will give up their afternoons to put together QCS packs full of lollies for every girl in their grade? So I'd like to say thank you to each and every one of you for an amazing 5 years. Now I have a confession to make. Before I started writing the speech, I thought that I would be able to walk away from the school without a single tear being shed. I denied that I was the slightest bit sad to leave school. But then I started writing the speech and I realised that yes, I may want to leave school like there's no tomorrow, but I don't want to leave Stuart Home. Over the years, our school has become much more than a school. For boarders and day girls alike, it has been a second home. We have laughed in those halls, we have cried in those halls, and to the dismay of teachers, we have used those halls as changing rooms. The more I thought about it and the more I wrote, I realised that we've had so many experiences in that school, good and bad, that you can't simply walk away and forget it. There are a lot of things that I won't miss about the school, such as the infinite number of black crows and turkeys. Let's face it, if you've made it through 5 years here without being attacked by a bird, you're doing well. But there are also so many great things that I will miss. I can honestly say that I've never been more proud to be surrounded by girls who would rather check out a chocolate than a boy. These last 5 years have shaped us into the young women we are today and filled us with what seems to be a lifetime of memories. We have spent 2/3 of our lives in school, and now, with the prospect of facing the real world, I find it quite daunting. No longer will we have timetables to tell us where to be every second of our lives or school bells telling us when to be there. No longer will we wear the exact same thing every day or see the same 140 girls at lunch. No longer will we ponder the values, attitudes and beliefs of the masses. As we exit this school, we leave behind us a few things, yes, but we also take with us an education, friendships that will last a lifetime, and memories that will never be forgotten. Unfortunately, not all of the girls that we started this journey with could be here tonight. And I know as a grade we've been through a lot, and sometimes it has felt like we weren't going to make it. But of course, Stuart Home girls are a lot tougher than they look. I have absolute faith that every girl in this room can do amazing things. I'd like to share with you a quick excerpt from a book that was given to me by one of our lovely Stuart Home mothers, Helen Spain. It's entitled The Places You'll Go. Congratulations, today is your day, you're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the girl who decide where to go. Dr. Zeus, so wise. This poem summarises where all of the grade 12s before me now stand. We are in transition between what has been 12 years of schooling and the real world. We are on the brink of venturing into the unknown, but regardless of how corny it may seem, we are the holders of our destiny. Far be it for me to tell you all what to do with the rest of your lives, so I'm not even going to try. But what I will do is ask that each one of you always remembers your time at Stuart Home. I know that wherever our endeavours take us, we will always be Stuart Home girls at heart. And it is because of this that I ask you to always remember the things that you have learnt and the memories that you have made at this school. And know that your mark on this school and its mark on you will remain forever. Thank you.
For us to be able to acknowledge our valedictorian. I told you as I was speaking that you would hear Madeline's speech, Maddie as we know her. I had told her what a beautiful speech it was and one where she was truly giving a reflection of her grade. So Maddie, on behalf of us all, I offer you just a small token of our thanks and something to remember this occasion. Well done to you. Thank you.